I was reading Matthew chapter 1 that we looked at last week. I was reading it again, and I was overwhelmed by the simple truth that what God has done, there for all of eternity, the four living creatures, the 24 elders, the angels, and all of the redeemed will be praising him for what he has done, for who he is, and for what he has done. And as I was reading Matthew chapter 1, I'm like, why is it's hitting me differently? So I'm going to read it the way it hit me this past week. Okay? Matthew chapter 1, starting verse 18. Exactly what we looked at last week. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God. That's me. I put that in it. The sinless Son of God was as follows. After his mother Mary, the sinner, was betrothed to Joseph, the sinner. Before they came together, she, the sinner, was found with the child of the perfect, sinless, and righteous Holy Spirit. I started reading it this way and adding this in because it began to hit me the weight of what God has accomplished. God came, just to say it once, it doesn't fix it. It doesn't fix it. To say that the sinless God came through a sinner, to say it one time just doesn't agree with me. And so I was saying it over and over and over again that God is the only one who could bring a sinless perfection out of a sinner. Because that is indeed, sometimes we begin to think about Mary and Joseph like they were exalted people, like they real special people. No, they were sinners just like you and I. They were sinners going to split hell wide open. Look, they're sinners. And so I kept reading it and reading it. Verse 19, then Joseph, the sinner, I kept reminding myself, her husband being a just man as it relates to the treatment of others and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her, the sinner, away secretly. Emphasis added. That's my emphasis. But while he, the sinner, while Joseph thought about these things, behold, an angel of the holy and righteous, that's my emphasis, holy and righteous Lord appeared to him, the sinner, in a dream, saying, sinner Joseph, because God did not have to do any of this. It's my point. God did not have to reveal himself to sinners. God did not have to bring his perfect, sinless, righteous, holy, and true Son through the flesh of a sinner. He did not have to do that, but he did. This is what Christmas is all about. Said, sinner Joseph, son of a murderer and adulterer, David. Now, our Bible just says, son of David. And we get it. God forgave him of his sin. He put away his sin. That's in 2 Samuel chapter 11. But God brought through King David, who murdered a man and took his wife, to that David, this Joseph was related to. Do not be afraid to take to you your sinful wife, Mary, for that which is conceived in her, the sinner, is of the truly sinless and righteous Holy Spirit. And she, the sinner, will bring forth a perfect, righteous, sinless, and true son. That's amazing. That's a miracle. Only God could do this. Only God could accomplish this. And you shall call his name Jesus. And here is this line that just got to me. For he will save his people, not from the Romans. Remember, they wanted to make Jesus king because they saw he multiplied the bread and the fishes. And they said, well, if he can do this, he can feed a whole army. Hey, let's make this guy king and he could throw off the Roman. We're under Roman occupation. He can throw it off. Hey, let's make him king. No, that's not why he came. The angel said, And you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people, not from the prevailing power of the day, not from Hamas, not from the globalists, not from the billionaire class. These are some of the things we're wrestling with today. Not from the white supremacists, not from the Christian nationalists. Some people say, Pastor, you sure about that? Yeah, I'm real sure about that. Yeah, that's not why Jesus came. Now, that may happen over the course of time, but that is not why he came. All the things that people are wrestling with, all the things that they're upset about. They're upset about climate change. They're upset about politics, etc. Jesus didn't come to fix any of that. The angel said he will save the people from their sins. Listen. All of those groups I just named, not one of them could send you to hell. But you know what can? Your sin. The thing that Jesus came to deal with was my sin and your sin. Now people, they got Jesus, people doing everything with Jesus. They're quoting Jesus all wrong. They're quoting for their own purpose, politics, and everything else. They're quoting Jesus all wrong. And if they were sitting here today, I'd tell you, you're wrong. You are wrong. Read the book. Read the book. Read what the angel said. He will save his people from their sins. Let's see. Put that up. I think I have it queued up, a couple slides that I want to share. Yeah. Out of these groups, all these groups I named, the Romans, the prevailing power of the day, Hamas, the globalists, the billionaire class, the white supremacists, the Christian nationalists, sexually deviant, Jesus, the scripture says, let's see if I can get this on. There it is. So we see here, she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. He didn't say he was going to save them from the Romans. That's what Israel wanted. That's why they missed who Jesus was. No, the angel didn't say that. The angel said he will save the people from their sins. You ever talk to your neighbor about their sin? You ever talk to him? Hey, but it's Christmas time. We're giving gifts. No. That's not why Jesus came. Jesus didn't come for us to give gifts to one another. That's not why he came. The reason why he came, he will save, this is important, his people. Ooh, glory, glory. I looked at that, I said, wait a second, but did you come to save? No, well, hold on. Who's Jesus saving from their sin? His people. His people, we'll get in that in a second. But out of all these groups of people I just named, Jesus will save some of those people out of their sins. He saved people from the Romans in his day. He's saving people from the globalists, the billionaires, the sexually deviant, you name them, Christian nationalists, white nationalists. He's saving people from Hamas. He's saving people from every tribe, language, tongue, and people. Today, that's what he's doing. He was doing it in that day. He's doing it in this day. Yeah. Well, who are his people? For he will save his people. Who are his people? Who are his people? Well, you say he came unto his own and his own received him not. John told us that. Aren't all the Jews his people? No. We know all the Jews, the Jewish nation is not his people, although some people would have you believe that. Listen to what Jesus said in John chapter 8. And he said to them, you are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. I'm not of this world. Therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins. Wait a second. I thought he will save their people from their sins. He was going to save his people from the sins. Well, here's Jesus talking to the Jews in chapter 8. And he says, therefore, I said to you, you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe I am he, you will die in your sins. Well, now, there Jesus makes very clear. What then makes you his people? He says, you are from beneath, I'm from above. You are of this world, I'm not of this world. Therefore, I said you would die in your sins. Now, So what makes you his people? All of his people are saved from their sins. This is what we do know about his people. He's going to save every last one, bar none, from sin. Everyone who belongs to Jesus, all of their sins will be forgiven. He said, of those that the Father given me, I have lost none except for the son of perdition. Everyone that belongs to Jesus will have theirs. He will be saved from their sins. Period, bar none. End of story. So all of his people are saved from their sins. How does this happen? Well, Jesus lays it out right here. This happens as they believe and hold fast to the belief that he is the Savior of the world, the Messiah. Here's one thing that's true of all God's people. They will all be forgiven of their sins. How does it happen? It happens as we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how it happens. Jesus said this in John chapter 10, verse 26. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. Jesus said people that don't believe on him don't belong to him. Guess what? The opposite is true too. Those who believe on him do belong to him. So those who believe are his people. He says it right here. Those who do not believe are not my sheep. The converse is true. Those who do believe on him are his sheep. So the reason why Jesus was born, the reason why Jesus came to earth, was not so that we could sing Christmas carols. Now, there's nothing wrong with a good Christmas carol. You know, there ain't nothing wrong with it. But if you sing the Christmas carol and miss the fact that Jesus came to save you from your sin, I feel sorry for you. If you get a new present for Christmas and you miss the fact that Jesus Christ died to save you from your sin, I feel sorry for you. Because you'd have missed the whole story. You'll miss what it's all about. How important was believing? So much so that Jesus intervened in the life of doubting Thomas to make sure he believed. You remember doubting Thomas? Hey, he wasn't there when Jesus showed up. He said, I won't believe until I stick my fist in his side, until I put my finger in the prints in his hands. And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut and stood in the midst. And man, look here, Jesus. Jesus wouldn't walk into a room. He just appeared. Man, you don't believe. I'm sorry, something wrong with you. And he said, peace to you. Then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here. Look at my hands. Reach here your hand and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. Why? Because believers are the ones who are my sheep. I will not tolerate you not believing, Thomas. I've come to save you. Be believing. And Thomas answered and said, my Lord and my God. Jesus said, Thomas, because you have seen me, you believe. Blessed are those. That's you. That's you. Come on. That's me. That's every day we wake up. Blessed. Blessed are you. Blessed are those who have not seen yet believe. Sometimes I believe I can't see him, but Lord Jesus, I know he's there. Whoo, do I know he's there? Oh, Lord God. Jesus said, we are blessed. Why? Because we believe on him, the Savior of the world. This is going to be a short message, by the way. Yeah. Acts chapter 8, verse 34. Then Philip opened his mouth at the beginning of the scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now, as they went on down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? There are a lot of people who are naming the name of Christ today. They call themselves, they say, I'm blessed. They use words like grace. They use all kinds of words that Christians use. Guess what? They're not saved. They have all the jargon right. They've been in church. They pray. They can talk a good game, but the eunuch said, look, yeah, he was becoming acquainted with the ways. He said, what does hinder me from being baptized? Now, what Philip told him was this: if you believe, you may. But if you do not believe, you cannot. That's what's not there. Okay? Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may be baptized. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And after he had just read Isaiah 53, he read more than what most sinners coming to Jesus know about Christ and his suffering. He read the whole of Isaiah. Philip preached from Isaiah 53 to him. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they had come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. So the eunuch saw him no more, but it didn't matter. The eunuch had Jesus, so he went on his way rejoicing. He had Christ. Look, Zechariah, we looked at Zechariah last week. He was judged. A sign. God gave him a sign, which was both a sign and judgment. And Gabriel told him this, because you did not believe my words, I'm standing in the presence of God, and you not believing my words. He says, you're going to be dumb until it's come to pass. You're not going to be able to say a word. So we see that Zechariah was just because he did not believe. But Joseph, Mary, Elizabeth, the shepherds, come on, Simeon, Anna, the wise men, they all believed. They all were blessed. Why? Because they believed. They believed what was told them about the child that was coming forth. And this is why it's so important. Romans chapter 4, verse 23. Now, it was not written. Now, the verse before this, they just quoted Genesis 15:6, where God told Abraham, go out and count the stars. If you can be, so shall your seed be. And the Bible says, and Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed unto him, that righteousness was imputed to him, but also for us. This is where you get your dancing shoes on. It shall be imputed to us. Who what? Who believe. Who believe. Come on, church. I mean, oh, my Lord. Just simply believing. Just believe what God has said about his son. Yes, those who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses, but was raised because of our justification. So Jesus came to deliver his people from their sins. How does he deliver his people from their sins? When we believe on him and what he accomplished at Calvary. Rose again the third day. Took all of our sins and washed them all away. Yeah. So all this was done, the scripture says. Back to Matthew 1. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord. All of this was accomplished because God said, a virgin's going to have a son. And his name is going to be Emmanuel. God with you. God with us. The God who was not obligated to do anything but damn us, but condemn us, who had already spoken before we even sinned, the day that you eat of that tree, you will surely die. That was the only thing he was obligated to. But he went beyond that and had in his eternal counsels redemption, the plan of salvation, for which we will magnify him day in and day out. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, we worship you, we magnify you, we bless you, for we are here today because of what you accomplished for us through your precious Son, Jesus Christ. Yeah, all of this was done because God said in his heart, I'm going to bring forth a Savior. Then Joseph, the sinner, being aroused from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, the sinner, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. The wonder of the grace of God. I don't know if we could ever contain it. I don't know if you could ever put into words what God has done for us. We were all dead in trespasses and sins, yet he made us alive together with Christ. My God, my God. Jesus, my God, you are worthy. Forever, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord is to be praised. For who is like you? Who is like you in all the earth? Who is like the Lord? Gracious and kind, long-suffering and forgiving. There is no one. Long before man even knew, God had said this in Isaiah, for unto us a child is born. He prophesied this hundreds of years before Christ's birth. Unto us a son is given. To Mary a child was born, but to us from heaven a son was given, because the son preexisted. Amen. His incarnation, he preexisted that. He was given, right? He didn't come into being as he was being born. No, he existed eternally with God the Father. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. Here the Messiah is called God. Yet when Jesus called himself the Son of God, the Jews tried to stone him to death. He said, why are you trying to stone me to death? Because I opened this man's eyes? He said, no, not because you opened this man's eyes, because you make yourself God. Well, here it is right here. Mighty God, everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Sorry, America. I know you want to last forever, but Assyria didn't last forever. Babylonia didn't last forever. The Medes and the Persians didn't last forever. Alexander the Great, he didn't last forever. The Roman Empire, it didn't last forever. Come on. Come on. Whoever's the prevailing power of the day, you're not going to last forever. But I'll tell you of a kingdom that will last forever. This kingdom, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He rules right now over every nation, over every head of state. He is the sovereign Lord. He says who lives and who dies. And he's 100% righteous. And he's all powerful. And there's nothing you can do about anything that he decides. Oh, man, he is the only potentate. Timothy, what is it, Titus tells us? Oh, my goodness, there's no one like him. Upon the throne of David, there's the Messiah. There's 2 Samuel chapter 7, where the Lord said, I'm going to take your son and I'm going to send him on a throne. He's going to reign forever and ever and ever. And David's trying to figure this out. How is this going? Because all David's sons blew it, starting with his first one, Solomon. He blew his stack. He started worshiping idols. And all the kings of Judah and Israel after him, they started worshiping idols. David was the only king. Saul, he didn't worship idols either, but he disobeyed the Lord. David was the only king who did not have idol worship, the influence of idol worship in his life. That's why he was a man after God's own heart. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So, our Messiah, the Messiah that God sent, what was required for our sins to be forgiven under the Christ, the Messiah, was that we believe. That's why we have John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him, whoever believes in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. You really need to tell that to some of these people who want to kill the LGBT. You know, you need to talk to all these people. Jesus said, no, he didn't send his son to condemn. We need to preach the gospel to those people and let those who get saved get saved. Amen. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You want to know what we really experience in Christmas? It's not all the wreaths hanging, all the bows placed all neatly and nice and everything. No. And I've preached this before. But you know what surrounds a true Christmas? Are people believing? Are people coming to faith? Are they coming to wrestle with their sins and know that Christ died for their sins so that they might live forever? Since all flesh will die because all have sinned, God sent his own son to defeat death and to give eternal life to all those who believe in him. Last scripture. He who believes in the Son, 1 John 5, I love this. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. Can I tell you what you have in you? You have the witness. You know what the witness does? You know the witness, like, he the one. You know the witness, they get on the stand, they tell what they saw. You know what the witness does in you? The witness tells you, yeah, you're one of his. You are one of his. You are a son. You are a daughter of God. That's what the witness does in you. And everyone who's his, everyone who believes, has the witness in itself. And I love the witness. The witness talks to me all day long. Let me know I'm a child of God. Let me know I'm a son of the Most High. And I rejoice in that more than I rejoice in anything. In anything. Oh, by the way, can I tell you this? Don't worry about stuff and the things that you need to live, because he can provide everything you need. Is that right, Zelda? Is that right? Oh, I know it's right. He can give you everything you need to live. You know why? Because he wants you to focus on him and believing. He wants you to focus on him and believing. This is what I learned. I have been young. I'm now old. Quoting David. Hey. I was young, but now I'm old. But I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread. Look here. I'm telling you everything you need. Young person, hear me. Everything you need. By the time you get old, God gonna give you everything you need. His grace is more than sufficient for everything you could ever need. Okay. Well, you don't have to worry about anything. Okay, well, what am I supposed to do? Well, you're supposed to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You're supposed to seek his kingdom, that kingdom that will never pass away. You're supposed to give yourself to that. Raise your children, know the Lord, to love the Lord, and keep it going, and just serve him that way. But God's going to give you. I'm just learning. I thought, I picked this up a few years ago. It's like the Holy Ghost said, son, have you ever lied? I was like, no, I had everything I need. He's like, yeah, I did that all these years. You were worrying about it. I did it all these years. You worry about nothing. Oh, I did? Yeah, you worry about it. I give my people everything that they need. You have everything that you need. He won't fail you. Huh? Why? Because he saved you. And if he gave you the greatest thing you need, he's going to provide the least that you need. What was the greatest thing you need? I need my sins washed away. I need my sins so that I can live eternally with him. Yeah, well, if he did that, Jesus says, how much more? If a son asks for a fish, will his father give him a serpent? If he asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Well, how much more than your heavenly Father who's in heaven, how much more will he not give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? I'm telling you right now, the things of this world, don't worry about them. I've been there, done that. Don't worry about it. God, he's so big. He's so kind. I mean, everything is prepared 20, 30, 40, 50 years down the road for you. Don't worry about it. God's got it taken care of. Everything you need to raise your son that's in the womb, God's already given to you. It's already done. Why? So you can seek first his kingdom. When you go to work, seek first his kingdom. When you're at church, wherever you are, seek first his kingdom. And all these things shall be added unto you. Don't worry about them. Don't worry about them. I'm going to provide everything that you need. What I need you to do is to keep your eyes fixed on me. Oh, there's no more beautiful person I'd rather look at. Oh, Lord Jesus. Yes, that will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Jesus. Come on. So keep your mind fixed on Jesus. I go to work. People give me hundreds of dollars. I'm talking above the money that I charged them to clean cars. They give me hundreds. People fill a $100 bill, $100 bill. I put all my tips in the bank. I can't carry my wallet too fat. I have to go put it in the bank. I said, Jesus. He said, I provide. Talk to Kweku. You're talking about provision. Talk to mommy. Everything they needed, God has provided. Why? So you keep your eyes fixed on me. Keep your eyes. I'm the first and the last. I'm Alpha and Omega. I'm the beginning. I'm the end. Yeah, that's who he is. And he provides. But he provides for everybody. It's just not everybody gives him thanks. Luke chapter 7, he healed 10 lepers. One turned around and said, thank you. I said, he heals. And he provides for everybody. He healed 10 lepers and one turned around and said, thank you. And he knew one was going to turn, but he still healed the 9. I'm telling you, God's a good God. He's good. He is. Oh, my God, he's good. He's good far beyond we could ever praise him that he's good. I'm telling you, we're in over our heads on this thing. Let me get back. I'm trying to get now. Didn't I say? Okay. He who does not believe God has made God a liar, because he has not believed the testimony God has given of his Son. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. Life is not a thing. Life is a person. Life is not something that you obtain. Life is not something that you go get. Life is a person. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. It's very simple. So Jesus came. He was born of a virgin that he might forgive his people of their sins. That's why he came. And Christmas is not about giving gifts to one another. That don't mean you go return all your gifts now. That don't mean that. You know, I'm just saying. But that's not what Christmas is all about. Okay? It's about God, who has given us the best and the perfect gift. This is what Christmas is about. He gave us his Son. Notice it's not about giving gifts to one another. Even the wise men gave gifts to God. The wise men brought frankincense, gold, and myrrh, and they presented them to God, the Son, Jesus, born of a virgin. They gave to God, and God gave. That was their response to God giving to us. But it wasn't about giving gifts to one another. Wonder where that came from. Nothing wrong with it, but that can't be the only focus. Because if it is, you miss the whole boat. Missed the whole boat. Jesus overcame sin and death that we might live eternally in Christ. He came to save us from our sins. When I pray for Israel these days, I pray that they be delivered from Hamas. Huh? Look, Job was praying for his children. The Sabaeans came. The fire of God fell. And who was the other ones that stole all his stuff? Guess what? Bad things are going to happen to you in this life. Bad things are going to happen to Christians. All of those groups that I name, Hamas, the globalists, billionaires, communists, you know, people talk about all this stuff. But no, they're still here. They're doing their dirty deeds. Jesus didn't say, I came to annihilate. No, he didn't come to deal with it. He said, I came to save my people from their sins. You say, well, isn't he going to deal? Oh, yeah, he's going to deal with all that craziness going on. He's going to deal with that. Oh, and when he does, whoo, Lord, he's going to deal with it. If we aren't turning from our sins, then we are not experiencing Christmas as he would have us to. Oh, now, Pastor, you don't stop preaching on the melon. Let me say it again. If we aren't turning from our sins, then we are not experiencing Christmas as he would have us to. Because let me tell you what the Holy Spirit is doing. Convicting the world of sin, righteousness, and coming judgment. And what Jesus said the Holy Spirit would do. My prayer is that you and I would be blessed in believing on the Lord Jesus, who is constantly turning every one of us from our sins to himself. Amen? That's the reason that he came. Let's stand. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth. Thank you for the love of God that has come to us through Christ, our Lord and Savior. Father, we pray that we would flesh out this word. Lord, that we would, Lord, be so happy in believing, knowing, oh God, that Christ, through his sacrifice, death, burial, and resurrection on the cross, Lord, has washed away our sins, that we who were dead in trespasses and sins might live forever together with Christ. We thank you, oh God, for this eternal work, and we rejoice in it day by day. And, oh Lord, I pray, open our mouths, open our hearts, that we would be able to share the good news with those who are struggling in their sin, that they might know that the Savior of the world has come to wash away their sin. We ask you this thing in Jesus' precious name. And all of God's people said amen. Amen and amen. Lord bless you real good.